Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what would you do if something violent followed you all the way home to your bed? How haunted can antique stores be? The one we talk about today is more than active. And a spirit board opens up doors to multiple entities that invade one home. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yep, it is. 855-853-4802. The phone number to call in 24-7. Share your real ghost story with us. Write it on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you love our show, you want to support it, and you go, you know what? I think this thing is worth $5 a month. Then I invite you, by all means, go to ghostpodcast.com. Sign up to be an extra podcast person. For your $5 of support a month, you're going to get access to a bonus episode every single week and our archive of more than 240-some bonus episodes. All of those are there for you. Advanced episodes of the show weeks before they go public. Also, free e-copy of the book. And you get advanced access to many things that we do throughout the year as an EPP. All there, ghostpodcast.com, or you can sign up through Patreon at patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you once again.
Yes, Tony.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm pretty great, Tony.
Here at Smooth Jazz 106.5.
That's what it sounded like, didn't it?
Coming up, latest from Basha and Kenny G to Smooth Jazz.
You have that really good Smooth Jazz guy voice.
It's going to make you feel real good. Right after your seven-day forecast from AccuWeather meteorologist Wex Weatherman. And that's his real name, by the way. His parents just knew he was going to be a meteorologist someday. So they said, Wex Weatherman, this is going to be great. Here's Kenny G.
They spell it W-X.
That was Kenny G. Played his latest. And those are his real hair locks. I know because I cut a piece of it when he wasn't looking backstage last week. I sniffed it.
Kenny G coming back as a ghost. That would be kind of fun.
That would be awesome. That would be totally.
Oh my God. Like, so there you are and you're in the haunted Kenny G house and he just like plays the best music and you find yourself so relaxed and comforted all the time.
Fuck that. I want him to show up at my house. I just want to be like sleeping and all of a sudden I hear like Silhouette playing in the background. Like, oh, that's so relaxing. Thank you, Ghost of Kenny
G. Thank you, Ghost Kenny G.
That'd be great. As long as he doesn't do that damn Loud Lang Syne version that was played at New Year's 2000. Remember that one? It was like, it was Y2K and almost every station like on the hour was playing that damn Kenny G.
Oh yeah, it was kind of sad sounding.
Yeah, and it had like all like the little like it was kind of in the vein of Titanic, which was around that time, that had all the little sound clips in it, and it was sound clips from the last century, and it got so burned out. I think it was the last time Kenny G was played on the radio was like 19 years ago because it was,
well,
like,
who else would be a good like entertainer ghost? Like, I think a musician like that, like, I don't know that I would want like Gene Simmons ghost. I think he would just be angry and all the time wanting to rock and roll all night. I'm like, stop, I have to sleep.
I just did an interview the other day with someone about, with Jill Marie Morris about Haunted Hollywood. And it's on the other show, The Grave Talks. It will be released in advance if you're a gravekeeper over there here in a week or two. It'll be a live episode towards the end of July. But it was interesting. We talked about the ghost of Michael Jackson. And he's apparently still quite active at the Hombly Hills house where he died. Lots of sightings of him there. Not so much at Neverland, but in that house that he called home for a very short period of time.
Really?
And, yeah. And another ghost that we talked about was Lemmy. I'm bad with this. He was a rock guy.
Was he a metal guy?
Yeah. Lemmy. Yeah. Hirsch, what was his last name?
I can't think.
Haunted Hollywood. I got it here. Lemmy Kilsmer of Motorhead. Apparently he haunts the Rainbow Room out in Hollywood. And he was quite a frequent guest there in life. And I guess he still enjoys hanging out there quite a bit.
That is interesting to me.
Yeah, it was an interesting episode. We talked about Hollywood hit, or the, what was it? What's the big cemetery where Michael Jackson is? There's a couple of them out there. But we talked about those cemeteries and how cemeteries typically aren't super haunted places. But these almost seem to have a little bit more going on in them, almost because when you're dead and you go there, it's almost like, you know, it's prestigious if you're going to some of these Hollywood cemeteries, because they're not cheap to get into, or you have to be a certain person to even get a space in it. It's almost like, hey, this is my new mansion and here I am. I'm still hanging out and checking it out.
So. You know, because if I was buried in a cemetery where there's a bunch of famous people, I might want to stand out.
Yeah.
And be like, hey, I'm going to haunt this place.
Just wander around, freak out the guests. I think I would be dressing up as one of the dead famous people just to screw with people. So people are, oh, my God, there's the ghost of Michael Jackson. He's really, really short. That doesn't look anything like him. But he has he's doing the moonwalk. It must be Michael Jackson. I mean, you could be a horrible impersonator as a ghost and get away with it. And people will think you are that person.
I think you could.
Yeah. It's the best way to be an impersonator when you're dead.
Especially if you could communicate. All you would have to do is say, I'm Marilyn Monroe.
Boom.
And they would go, oh my God, it must be Marilyn Monroe.
Exactly.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm effing with everybody.
No convincing needed. It would totally work. And that's the pro tip of the day. When you die, become an impersonator and you will be believed by every single person that you come in contact with. You heard it.
I love this idea.
Yeah, there you go. It's on your to-do list. 855-853.
When you die,
yes. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. One more quick housekeeping thing I wanted to mention before we get into our stories. We got some good ones today. I am looking for empaths. Da-da-da. And I can't really say a whole hell of a lot about this, but it's basically, how did I word it? I put it on Facebook the other day. We're looking for people who have very strong empathic abilities. So you can't just be like, oh, I kind of sense shit. I mean, I want ones that like really, you got it. You can hear, sense, you know, something a little bit more than the ordinary. I always say the 1 to 10 scale. Be a 5 or above on the 10 scale of empathic abilities, not like me where I'm a 1. That's what we're looking for. It's for something that's involving being on camera and not being afraid to be on camera and using those abilities. That's about all I can say right now. If that's you and you're interested and you think that could be something you want to be involved with, send an email to me, casting@realghoststoriesonline.com, CASTING, just like casting for a something.
Empaths.
Yeah, I'm casting for empaths and fishing for empaths. But casting@realghoststoriesonline.com, and more can be revealed down the road, but right now that's about all I can say. But those are the requirements. You have to be okay to be on camera, and you have to be okay to, you have to have the ability too. So that's kind of important. And just shoot me an email. Let me know you're interested. Tell me a bit about yourself, what you're, you know, how you're an empath, and we'll chat from there. But yeah, please do.
I am super interested and intrigued with whatever you have planned because I don't know.
We'll chat off the air.
Okie dokie.
But that's it for right now. But it could be a really good opportunity for the right couple of people I'm actually looking for this. So there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first letter. It says, hey guys, huge fan of the show. Listen, while at work, I have a few ghost stories. I would say I'm in the middle of the spectrum when it comes to sensitivity. When I was younger and lived in a smaller town, my brother, who was around 6 or 7 at the time, could see a little girl in a pink dress at the bottom of the stairs. He had to walk upstairs to the entrance of our house. As he was young, he just assumed this was normal. She apparently used to follow me around, watch me sleep, sit down next to me, and generally just act like my shadow. He slowly became quite scared of her, and I believed him, as the house did have creepy vibes. I always felt watched, and my sister heard a massive crash, like something or someone smashing on her window the first night we lived there. My sister later found out at a party that our house was known for being haunted, and not to engage the small girl, as she was not a small girl at all. It was an evil spirit. That's the last I heard of it. after we moved out. I've also lived in another house that the back room next to mine was cold all the time. You felt very unsafe when you went in there. And one night when I was sleeping, I suddenly woke up and saw a dark shadow standing over my bed staring at me. I was terrified, and even my cat was growling and ran out of the room. I quickly got up and turned the light on to nothing there. I also had another instance that I was punched in the back while sleeping when I was home alone. I do believe I always have something following me. I'm not sure if it was good or bad because sometimes I know something is there watching me, and other times when I just feel it, I'm overwhelmed with fear. I've been told by a healer that I had a lady next to me, was very angry and was yelling at me while I was in the session with him, but I'm yet to figure out who this is. My mom has also been pushed down the stairs while pregnant, and other things happened to her. These are just a few of my stories, but I hope to hear them on the podcast one day. Thank you very much. Taryn from Brisbane, Australia. Thoughts?
Okay, that would drive me crazy, because it's one thing if you're living in a haunted house and you wake up and you see that at your bed. That's terrifying. But if something's following you, like, wherever you go, that would be horrible.
And always have that watching feeling.
And it's angry.
Yeah.
That's like, what? Why?
It's like never-ending anxiety, which is kind of like what I have, but it'd be worse if it was like literally, you know, you just know it's like it's not just you. Like, there is some shit hanging out around you no matter what.
Oh, my God. And then you'd go someplace and people would be uncomfortable. It's like, yeah, it's that angry lady that follows me everywhere. It's like a boyfriend I had once, except he was real. But he would just follow me everywhere we went. People go, that guy, he's really handsome. I'm like, yeah, he's my ex-boyfriend. He does this all the time.
Oh, my God. Like, but, so this was like after you broke up, he kept following, like, stalking?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So, like, where would you be? And he would show up. And was he casual about it? Or did he, like, let you know he was there?
Oh, he would want me to see him.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Bars, wherever I'd go. Like, I was pretty predictable. It wasn't a huge town.
Yeah.
So we would just stand there, and then he would, like, try to make me jealous by flirting with other girls. I'm like, go. That's good. Move on. But, I mean, to have, like, an angry energy following you everywhere you went, that would be horrible.
It's like having a permanent angry ex-boyfriend following you around forever and ever, and you can't get rid of
feeling.
Him. Jeez.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
At least he was really handsome, and all the girls I hung out with are like, oh, my God. I'm like, no, really, you don't want to date that.
You were never tempted to be like, yeah, that's my man.
No. Because there's a whole nother story that goes with this guy. But that's like an entire episode.
Okay. It's like, do you ever hear the Sting song, I'll Be Watching You? Just like that. It's our love story. Yeah. Every breath I take.
Well, because he was a warlock.
Oh,
that was the thing.
I think you've mentioned like this in like very short passing before. We've never gone into it.
Yeah, we'll have to go into that sometime. It's too much.
On a very special episode, Carol dates a warlock.
My first boyfriend.
Really? How old were you?
18. I mean, my first real boyfriend.
Yeah. And this is before like all the like the warlock matching apps that happened today, you know?
The funny thing is that it wasn't a deal breaker. Like now.
You're like, yeah, you don't see that.
It would be a deal breaker.
That's good.
Like, I am not dating you. You are a warlock.
I'm glad you set the bar a little higher.
He's just so good looking.
So when you start.
Like, I'll date him. He's really handsome.
When you started dating him, did you know he was a warlock right out of the.
Absolutely.
Really?
I did.
Now, how did he was he like wearing like the official warlock outfit or did he exude signs of being a warlock? How did you know?
No, he did not have an outfit except at Halloween when he came over to get me once when we agreed we weren't dressing up.
Okay.
And then he's like, no, this is the real me. This is swooshes in my house with a cape on.
What the fuck do you do when you're a warlock anyhow? Like what does that entail?
You put hexes on people and stuff.
It's like a male witch. But witch is a very broad term. I mean,
he was like Uncle Arthur on Bewitched, except different. He wasn't an old gay uncle.
Okay. because we have, like, the term witch I've learned, like, is not, it's not, you know, broomstick and black cat and putting spells all the time. I mean, there's a lot of very non spooky versions of this that are just, you know.
He was like all about, like, if I break up with him, he's like, I will put a hex on
you. Okay, so he was like the horror movie version.
Yeah.
Wow.
Really handsome, though.
Cool. That could be a Halloween special. I think that should be a Halloween special this year. Totally. We did
don't
one.
Don't do what Carol did.
Yes. That's okay. Last year on Halloween, I think we did a special with you. It was about, it was about with you or with something.
It was my boyfriend who died.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, was a really sad, touching story.
That was a great one. Great one. It's horrible. Horrible, sad story, but it was a great episode. But can we do one about your other?
Just wait, this Halloween, Carol dates a warlock.
Every Halloween, it's a story about someone you've dated.
I got enough of them.
That'd be great. All right, we got Halloween set. I'm excited.
Okay.
I'm gonna put it on the calendar.
Anyways, I just relate to her. Just having some, like, I mean, it's different because you could see that guy. But, like, having that kind of energy following you around, that would be horrible. You could never get away from it. That would be, like, a total downer because it's an angry energy.
Yeah. I completely agree, and it's just it traps you, and then what do you do?
Yeah.
8-5.
It's not fair.
No. It's there, and you have, it's, 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to this one. It says, hey, Tony, my name's Ashley. Live just up the way from you guys in Springfield. Stumbled upon your podcast. I've been listening nonstop during the workday. It's so refreshing to hear stories and interpretations from people across the globe. I'm even more excited about this show because of how close you are. I would love to hear more stories of some of the local folklore in this area. There is enough to fill several episodes, I'm sure. I have several stories throughout my life that involve the paranormal that I'd be happy to share with you. My story today involves the building where my grandmother had her business for the majority of my life. She had a vintage clothing and antique shop located on Commercial Street in Springfield, Missouri, that was inside what was originally a Masonic Hall. I'm not sure how familiar you are with the history of the street, but it was a central hub in town when the Frisco Railroad came in. I believe the majority of these buildings had been around since the 1860s, and most of the tenants and shop owners on the street still have some claim of a paranormal activity. Over the years, Grammy had shared so many unexplainable occurrences that she experienced firsthand. I hate to throw the term sensitive around freely, but it seems like both sides of my family, both mother and father's side, have been more perceptive to this stuff than other people. I've had this natural draw to the paranormal ever since I can remember. I've been told by my family that I made mention of seeing things at a small age that they could not. I don't remember these occurrences now, but as I've gotten older, I have been more perceptive to feelings and strange happenings, especially inside this building. I remember the mid-2000s, a major ice storm hit our town and power was out for several family members. The store had power, so there was probably around 10 to 15 of us camped out. Everyone seemed to have something happen that they couldn't explain. From pacing footsteps coming from the second floor in the middle of the night that's only used for storage and was closed off unheated, to my mother's feet being knocked off of an ottoman in the middle of the night, and then a hand rubbing her back right after that happened. Rusted open hinges on a back door were suddenly closing, etc. I remember on a separate occasion, my sister and I were spending a one-week day afternoon with Grammy in the store. It was a sunny spring day, business was slow, and no one had been in the shop for quite a while. We were sitting in the foyer area in front of her counter where she had chairs set up for anyone that wanted to come in and visit. Finally, a customer comes in. She's greeted with a warm, hello, and the woman looks at us and responds with the same. It wasn't until about 30 seconds later, my Grammy sister and I exchanged looks back and forth because we couldn't figure out who greeted this woman. It was none of us, yet the voice came from where we were. Grammy's been retired for some years now. There's a new business owner there now who has confirmed the activity is still going on. If you get a chance to visit this area, I highly encourage it. Engage the shop owners about their experiences. I'm sure you won't be disappointed. I hope to write in some more, and I will be a long-time listener for sure. If you ever host any paranormal-type events, I will be there. Thanks for doing what you do. Ashley, I have never been to, they call it Historic C Street, Commercial Street up in Springfield. I don't know why. I've been here for like 3 years now. And There's a lot of shops down there. It's like one of those things whenever I'm up there, I'm like, I got to go check that out. Never have done it yet. But someday I will do that. But that would be creepy. Antique stores, those have got to be some of the most haunted places, don't you think?
I think so, too, because like especially if it's in a building that's got history like that area does.
Yeah.
Then you bring in all those old items that I just am not one to go antiquing because that stuff kind of creeps me out.
Yeah.
I just don't want to bring anything in my house.
It's
yeah, some of it, because you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Some of it, you just pick it up or look at it. It's like, oh, no. That is not going home.
Yeah, you can just sometimes get a vibe. I mean, I'm not super great at getting vibes, but sometimes you kind of get a vibe from some things. The weirdest thing I've ever seen in an antique store was slave gravestones, headstones, which are very small markers. They look like bricks. And I found those in an antique store in Wisconsin. I don't even know if they knew what the hell they had. But we were going through, and it was just behind a glass case. Like, Jen was like, do you know what that is? I'm like, no, what is that? And she told me, it's like, that's a slave gravestone. Like, wow. What?
That's horrible.
And God knows how, I mean, they came upon, I mean, I don't, it's, even if you came into possession of such a thing through not you picking it off of the site, but let's say you're going through, you know, you inherited someone's house and you're finding the shit in their attic. I don't think those items end up at the antique store. That's something where a lot of them don't have really any sort of marking to know where they would go back to.
Well, my guess is somebody knew exactly what they were.
Somebody, yeah.
They were behind glass. Yeah.
It's like, you just don't do that with something like that. It's just, yeah. So
next time I come to visit, we should go to Springfield.
Yeah, there's a lot of neat stuff.
Check that
up
out
there.
Because I like that town.
Yeah, I do too. There's a lot of cool stuff in Springfield. There's a little, I don't know if it's near, I think this is near C Street. We were up there the other day. There's a great little Chinese restaurant that we go to that totally reminds me of the Chinese restaurant on A Christmas Story. And it's just this little, you know, storefront area, and the people are so nice, and it's the best Chinese restaurant in town, and I can't think of what it's called, but Springfield is a fun town. There's a lot of neat stuff that's up there. Cool downtown too. A lot of revitalization going on down there. A lot of just neat architecture, and seeing it all kind of come back alive is always exciting. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. It says, hey, Tony, my name's Darren. I'm from Oak Island, North Carolina. I have a few stories to tell you about my experiences growing up in an old house. When I was about 6 years old, my great-grandmother passed away, and my family inherited her house. The house was built on our family's land, which has been in our family officially for at least 50 years. But our family has lived in the area for over 100 years. And at the time we moved into the house, it was already 30 years old. The house had a heaviness to it in general, but I did not see or experience anything until I was probably 8. So to begin, one evening, I was awake at about 1:30 a.m. and I couldn't sleep. So I decided to brush and do my hair for school the next day, despite the time of night. As I stared in the mirror brushing my hair, I looked past my reflection into the hallway and saw a girl with brown hair, brown eyes, about 15 years old, and dressed as a ballerina. So, she was very solid, full-body apparition. I was not scared by her presence, just confused. So I turned around, peeked over my shoulder into the hallway, and she was no longer there. I did a double take into the mirror and back into the hallway, but saw nothing. I went into the hallway to see if she had gone down the hall or hid in the hallway closet, but she was gone. The next day, I told my mom that I think I saw a ghost, and my mom insisted it was nothing. On another occasion, my sister saw the same girl in my parents' room and described her to me to a T. On a darker note, at around the age of 12 or 13, my sister and I used a spirit board in the house. Nothing happened while we were using the board, but in the years to come, we realized we made a mistake. One night, I was doing dishes. As a reference to the kitchen layout, the sink sat in front of the window, and the window reflected onto the kitchen wall and closet. While doing dishes, I looked up into the window reflection and saw a large black mass, human-shaped, standing in front of the kitchen closet. I just stared at its reflection, and it didn't move. As soon as I looked away and looked back, it was no longer there. On another occurrence, my family had returned home from some event, and with being in the house for probably less than 5 minutes, we heard a loud bang. Guessing it was coming from the living room, we rushed to find our 300-pound television face down on the floor. This is one of the huge 45-inch televisions with the wedge-shaped back, similar to the old computer monitors. This TV was securely on the TV stand, and there was no way it could have just fallen off. It took both my dad and brother to move the TV onto the stand again. Fortunately, it was not broken after the fall. My sister and I both have plenty of stories to tell in the future. These were just the easiest to type out. Love the show. I plan to call in with more stories very soon. I guess what I'm most taken aback, I mean, there's a lot of good ghost things in there. What I'm most taken aback by is, my God, I remember TVs that were heavy as hell. It's amazing how light they are today.
I just got rid of one like that.
Yeah?
Yeah, I had some people come haul some stuff off, and I'm like, are you sure you got that? And they're like, well, you got it.
It's crazy how heavy.
And you're right. Like, they can't just fall off.
No.
I mean, they're like 100 freaking pounds.
I recently
bought... Maybe not that much, but a lot.
I recently bought one on Craigslist, an old one. I was purposely seeking out an old one for hooking up some of my older video game systems for the kids. Because the old ones, the way the monitors work, they work better for the older systems. The new TVs, it looks all pixelated, and they were never made for that. So it looks good on the old monitors, but it's hard to find them. So I found a really good one on Craigslist. Picked it up, and I forgot how insanely heavy those things are.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I think it was like 400 pounds. And I was trying I ended up trying to get it down. There's a little hill on the side of our house, and I was trying to get it into the basement door. And I was literally on my hands and knees with a dolly cart and a bunch of straps around this TV, just slowly, like almost army crawling this thing down the side of the hill. So I didn't, because if I let go, it would go off a cliff.
Oh God, yeah.
And would land on a golfer and kill him. So that's not a great way to die, by suddenly you're playing a hole and suddenly a TV from 1997 lands on your head. So I decided I should really be careful with this, and I got it down the hill and into the house. But that was such a crazy excursion. And then it was funny, the other day me and Harper were in Best Buy and we needed to get a new TV to replace one that had broken a while back, and I just found it, the irony, just insane. It picked up like this, it's like a, I don't know, like 40 inch television for like $100, you know, HD, you know, 4K. They're so cheap now for what you get. And I'm just carrying it with one arm as I walk through the store. You know, it's just the price. That's something I never would have envisioned. Price is dramatically dropping on televisions.
Yeah, because I just bought a brand new one, 40-inch, for $130 or something on Amazon.
Yeah, and for them to be that light. Although I'm sure someday they're just going to be like peel and stick on the wall, and this will look as being insane.
I think there is kind of a roll-up TV thing I heard about.
It's coming out. It's not here yet, but it's probably not far away.
You know, in that story, though, when she saw like the ballerina thing, I was thinking how many parents, like how many kids probably actually have seen something and their parents are like, you didn't see anything. You didn't see anything.
A lot.
It's like her parent. What? You didn't see that.
Yeah.
You know, because there's probably been a lot of sightings that people have actually had that other people convinced them wasn't real.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree.
Especially if you're a kid. Because you're like, oh, mom said.
And you just go with it. But there's been a lot of letters into us over the years where it's like, you know, I told my parents they dismissed this, but as an adult, I'm looking back on this and I'm still thinking it happened. And it probably did. And there's a way, you know, I could tell. I always go back to my Michael Jackson story where that's scary. I'm talking about being a child and having a Michael Jackson story. Don't mean it in any way like that. I watched Thriller too much, and then I thought I saw him in my hallway. But I knew it was my mind. I knew it was not a ghost. And I knew it was that. So I think kids are pretty good at telling, and I'm just basing it on my experience, but telling what is their imagination and what is not. And I think a lot of times we just dismiss everything's their imagination. No, I don't think so all the time.
Or like the imaginary friend. That's creepy to me. Any kid that has an imaginary friend that's like, they really run with it.
Yeah. And they see
it.
It's
kind of creepy to me.
Jen had that. Jen had one that she saw. And he was on the air. It was on the air in the show. I don't know. It was like episode, I don't know, 50 or 60. Somewhere around there. Where we're talking about it one day. And she's like, wait a minute. you didn't see your imaginary friend? Like, no. Like, nobody sees their imaginary friend. It's just you pretend it's there. It's like, I saw mine.
Yeah, I never had an imaginary friend.
I mean,
I had real friends.
Yeah. Oh, you're lucky. Some of us didn't.
Thanks. No, thank you.
I called mine Mark, and that was just my conscience. I just like the little voice in your head that tells you right and wrong. I gave it a name, and I consider that my imaginary friend.
See, that makes sense to me though, because you were an only child.
Sure.
You know, well, yeah. I had 4 siblings and friends in my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. I had a cat, and
you needed Mark.
I did.
Mark served a purpose.
It was the only way I could deal with my life.
As the only child.
And then it was really weird because sometimes I would also, Mark would tell me to go find small animals and kill them and then bring them up to the house in my mouth with my teeth like a cat and then beg my mom for a reward. It was really weird, but she'd be like, good kitty. And every time I brought back a small animal, I'd get like an Oreo. So.
Your mom is so thoughtful that way.
This is life in Wisconsin. This is what we did for fun.
Before you get letters, that wasn't true.
I didn't do it. I don't kill animals. It's a joke. It's a reference to cats doing that in case you're playing along at home. So there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. In 1987, this is a letter. It says, I was living in a house in Atlanta with 4 roommates. We lived there for just over a year, and during that time, we had several experiences with what later became convinced was an actual ghostly presence. The house we were renting was well over 100 years old, having been built sometime just after the American Civil War, when Atlanta had been burned and destroyed by Union forces. The house was a beautiful old Victorian home located in the area of Atlanta known as Inman Park. We were all pretty young, in our 20s, and trying to get started in our respective careers, so the prospect of sharing the rent for a beautiful old 2-story, 5-bedroom house with a full basement was an attractive one. One week after moving in, we were all asleep in our rooms when we were awakened by screaming from our roommate. We'll call her Hannah. We all jumped out of bed and went to her room. She was sitting up, saying that she'd woken up to seeing a dark figure of a man who was standing right by her bed, looking down at her. She said that when she'd screamed, the figure turned and then walked out of the room. She was terrified and very, very agitated. The other male roommate and I, the housemates, consisted of 2 male and female couples and 1 single female, immediately checked out the outside of the house. We could find no intruder. This happened around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. We finally got Hannah to calm down and everyone went back to bed. The next day, we just chalked it up to the first incident of nervousness about living in a new home that just happened to be creaky and a somewhat spooky antique house. However, Hannah would not hear any of the explanation, and in the ensuing days continued to insist that she had seen this dark figure standing by her bed. She refused to stay in the house alone after that. About 2 weeks after the first incident, we were again all asleep when suddenly there was a thunderous crash and the sound of tinkling of glass from the hallway that separated all of the bedrooms and shared a bathroom. Once more, we all jumped up and ran into the hall, where we found that a full-length mirror that had been mounted on the bathroom door had shattered into hundreds of pieces all over the floor. Since everyone had been asleep, we could not figure out how this had happened, as the mirror frame was still securely fastened to the door and only the glass itself had broken. Atlanta is not prone to earthquakes, and the street was not a busy one, so we ruled out the possibility that a large truck or something had passed by and caused vibrations to occur inside. Later, similar poltergeist activity would manifest itself in many other ways. There was one instance when I was home alone in the house watching television, when for no good reason that I could later discern, 3 candles that were sitting in the fireplace mantle suddenly fell off onto the floor, almost as if someone had swept them off with a hand. Then there was the phenomenon that we all experienced at one time or another, where personal objects and other items would go missing only to turn up later in a place where the owner would swear that he or she had not left them. On one occasion, missing car keys were found lying right in the middle of a person's bed after a thorough search had been concluded for them by everyone home at the time. Other strange activity came in the form of knocking and tapping sounds heard from either the attic or the basement, when it was sure that no one was in either space. The last incident that involved the sighting of an actual entity occurred about 2 months after we moved in. We were having a small party at our place for a house guest who none of us had met before the party. We're taking a personal tour of the place on our own. She suddenly came running up from downstairs saying that she had just seen a man standing in the corner of the basement. She said that when she had called out to him, he simply disappeared. We immediately went down to the basement to check and, of course, found nobody there. This was most interesting because there was only one entrance into the basement, and a person who might have been trying to play a trick would not have been able to escape past anyone without being seen. As noted, that house guest who saw the figure in the basement was a brand new acquaintance whom we later determined had no prior knowledge that her place had any unusual activity connected to it. After about 6 months of all this, things seemed to quiet down and no more ghost activity was noticed or reported by anyone. We began to convince ourselves that maybe, just maybe, we'd all overreacted to some degree and perhaps we were all just being overly imaginative about the whole thing. Finally, toward the ends of our time living in the house, my wife and I were out at a restaurant one evening having a drink and dinner. We struck up a conversation with another couple sitting at a table nearby, two people who were strangers to us and whom we happened to meet that night by total chance when they asked us where we were living in Atlanta. We told them about our place in Inman Park and they said, "Really? We used to live in Inman Park. Which street do you live on?" And we told them, they said, "That's interesting. We used to rent a house in that same street. What's your address?" And we gave our address to them. They said, "Oh my God, we used to rent that same house ourselves." Immediately followed by the woman saying, "Have you seen the ghost yet?" Well, you can imagine that both my wife and I were completely flabbergasted to have relived and received such validation about our ghost problem from two total strangers. We ended up comparing notes with them, and they told us about many strange happenings they had witnessed in the house. It was quite similar to our own. That experience thoroughly convinced me that there is something to the whole subject of ghosts, and afterward, I no longer dismiss similar stories that I heard from other people quite so easily. It's nice to get a little validation there.
I love that that happened.
Yeah.
Like, because that's a creepy house. Like, that mirror thing, that's creepy. Because it's even the stuff, you know, like, seeing somebody, totally creepy. But in the middle of the night, a mirror breaking for no reason, that stuff's creepy.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell it is with mirrors, but, you know, obviously there's something there. And I know it's used in all sorts of, you know, practices and conjuring rituals and stuff. But it's just like random mirrors? Why is it just like the random mirror in the house? You know, what is that?
Yeah, exactly. Nobody knows.
It is very bizarre.
But I love that they ran into people that lived in that exact same house.
That is,
I mean, what are the odds? It's Atlanta. That's not like a town of 1,000 people.
No. That's just kind of one of those, there's no such thing as coincidences. It's like this meeting was meant to happen. I wonder, and I don't think this has happened yet on the show, but Sting over here is eating a FedEx envelope. I was like, "What are you doing?" And he's decided to completely shred one. I've wondered if we're going to have anything on this show, and I don't recall if it's happened yet, where someone goes, "Wait a minute, that house that someone's describing in whatever town sounds quite familiar to the one I'm living in now, or just lived in," and having the same sort of cross-reference story, you know, to people in completely different parts of the country now.
I mean, it could happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think folks...
I bet it will.
Folks who've had those sort of things happen to them tend to, you know, if you have something really compelling, you almost tend to gravitate towards finding out more about it. So I think the odds of two people finding the show, if you're searching and you're into podcasts, are pretty darn good of stumbling upon this thing that we have here. And I imagine it'll happen. And who knows? Maybe we've already had that happen without even realizing it, without them actually correlating the two, but... you know, sharing the same story of the same house, but from two totally different perspectives.
Yeah, because people who have lived in a house like that, who have had experience with ghosts, we're the type of people who look for podcasts like this. Because you like the validation and to know it's happened to other people.
Yeah, I mean, so, it lets you know that you're not alone. And that's the coolest thing about it. So, good story. Thank you for sharing that one with us here on the program. Yeah, I think that's going to wrap up the program for today. Remember, if, like I said earlier, I'm looking for empaths for a super secret project that I'm involved with. Can't say much more than that right now. But if you are an empath with strong abilities, like I said earlier, I always say a scale of 1 to 10, 5 or above in terms of the strongness of your empathic abilities. Let me know. Let me know a little bit about those abilities and why you think you're an empath, and you have to be okay with being on camera. That's what this project involves, and that's all I can say. Email casting, C-A-S-T-I-N-G, casting at realghoststoriesonline.com, and we can chat a little bit further. And if you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com or Patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all of our EPP bonus episodes, 240 some of those to binge away on, advanced access to our regular episodes, and more. Ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.